Welcome back again, guys. Like I said, this is always a pleasure, but welcome back to the Ventilator Podcast. Vent Specs by the Critical Care Triad. Remember that this is a supplemental for different ventilators and different modes that we're trying to go into, and we wanted to offer a little bit of supplemental to give you guys a little bit of taste of different things on different ventilators. So today we're going to talk about some modes on the Hamilton T1. We've already had a couple of Vent Specs podcasts placed out there, but we wanted to do a little bit more and talk about a few more modes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of punt the ball over to Caleb Curtis for just a little bit and let him kind of frame it up from where we're going with this.
Sure thing. So part of the Vent Specs is the Hamilton T1. So to continue on in the series with this one, and this is not going to be the only ventilator that we're going to cover, but we are just trying to cover the Hamilton first, and then we'll go on to some of the other more other transport vents too. So we've already covered the volume modes, and even though this is kind of with adaptive pressure ventilation with the APV, SIMV, the APVC, SCMV, now we're getting into the true pressure control modes, which is PCV plus and the PSIMV plus today. And so those are the ones that we're going to really discuss, and maybe some similar our situations and stuff of where they're a little bit different, but some of the other ones are some of the patients that we could potentially be using them on. I also wanted to kind of discuss today a little bit more too into the PSYNC application of it, which is the patient synchronization on the PSIMV plus. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to Shoff to kind of bring us in, start us off with PCV plus. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. PCV plus. I love it. As you discussed earlier, you had the volume or the adaptive mode in AC and then SIMV. And I really strongly encourage people to understand that these names and acronyms are all different, but you just got to understand how they interact with the patient. So learn that right away. AC, SIMV. And now we're going to drop down to that's volume up at the top. And then we're going to drop down to the pressure, AC, SIMV. And that's called biphasic. And just a brief word on biphasic, what that typically means is that whatever you punch in the controls, right? So in a passive patient, that's what they're going to get. But if you have somebody that's breathing spontaneously that wants to go above and beyond your settings, it has a special expiratory control valve that yields to spontaneous breathing. And that's what the biphasic concept is. And what that means to us is more patient comfort, less, i.e. bucking the vent, and less sedation. So I've found that to be true through my experience over the years using this vent, that biphasic concept is amazing. The patients absolutely love the ability to not get timed out on an inspiratory time on a breath, where on a traditional ventilator they would. And that's where they become a little bit more uncomfortable. But if they want to breathe it a little longer or light, it's just super comfortable for them. So PCV plus tells me pressure controlled ventilation. So I'm now using that flow generator, which is the ventilator, the turbine, the blower. That flow is spooling up to a specific pressure that I'm deciding on where I want that patient to terminate the pressure at. And PCV plus means assist control. That translates to an assist control breath. Every breath is going to be the same if the patient triggers a breath. And in that mode, they can't breathe a spontaneous breath. So what is that? The controls come up as the rate, the PEEP, the FiO2, the eye time. The sensitivity is something that we have to set. It defaults at 5 liters per minute. And that may seem like a lot, but remember the flow sensor is right at the end of the ET tube. So it can pick that up. And that's looking for a signal from the patient to tell the machine, hey, I want a breath, right? So I like PCV Plus because of the biphasic concept. I like PCV Plus because I'm an AC kind of PC kind of guy in most cases. Remember, there's no magic mode for every single patient. It's a case-by-case basis. But if I want to limit my pressure, I want to go ahead and say I don't want the peak inspiratory pressure, the peak control to go above, or the PIP, excuse me, the PEEP peak to go above, let's say, 25. So on this machine, the peak control is a pressure above the PEEP, right? So if I'm limiting my PEEP peak at 25, I need to subtract my PEEP from that number, the 25, and that's going to be my peak control. So the peak control to me is a PAP, a pressure above PEEP. And that I know if I go 20 peak control over a PEEP of 5, my PIP or my PEEP peak is going to be 25. And at that point, once I start ventilation and punch in my other settings, I want to look for that exhaled tidal volume, the VTE, right? What am I getting back from that patient due to the lung compliance and airway resistance? And if that target tidal volume is where I want it to be, and by the way, it's going to fluctuate. It's not like a pressure-delivered breath. Excuse me. It's not like a volume-delivered breath where you're consistently going to get a consistent volume. This is going to fluctuate. If the patient turns on their side a little bit, it's going to fluctuate, whatever. So you can have some leeway there when you're in a pressure-delivered breath. I guess my rule of thumb is I would, at 50 milliliters or less on either side, I would do some troubleshooting. Do I have a leak if it's less? Like, what's going on? Why do I have I'm targeting a 500 tidal volume on that pressure, and it drops down to 450. So I'm losing 50 milliliters. Is there a leak in the system? And you could find that out. You can quantify if there is a leak by going to monitor window 2, bottom right. It'll give you a percentage of leak and how much minute volume you're losing. That's a very useful tool for me.
I'm about to ask where to get to that.
Monitored window 2, bottom right on the Hamilton for the T1 would show you a percent minute volume. And then on the bottom, far bottom right, is the minute volume lost, actual minute volume that you lose. So, you know, it just helps quantify how much of a leak you may have. So, again, if there's no leak, and now the tidal volume that you were targeting was 500, and now it's 425 or 450, you might want to titrate that pressure up a little bit to get that tidal volume. And that's the downside of pressure ventilation, straight pressure ventilation, is that you have to watch your exhaled tidal volume, and that's going to fluctuate your minute volume, which is going to, you know, affect your end-tidal CO2. So, again, we talked about earlier, whenever you're dealing in pressure ventilation, you really want to set your alarms tight on your expired minute volume, the low minute volume. And you also have the opportunity on the Hamilton T1 alarm panel to set a low tidal volume. So if you're shooting for a tidal volume of 500, you may want to set your low tidal volume alarm at 450, right?
And, so if you're looking at the waveforms though up there, and you're looking at the screen, that red, that P limit that's going to be up there is a red line that's going all the way across. Isn't? I think that's the way that it reads out. That's the P limit that you set, and then sure. It's 10 yep. centimeters water below that point, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep.
All right.
Yep. For sure. So yeah, but I would watch that for sure. The biggest one for me is the expired minute volume alarm on pressure ventilation. So, you know, if your minute volume is say 6, I would set that low minute volume alarm at 5.5. Now they have that auto feature, and you need to be careful of that, and you get spoiled with the auto feature. You hit the auto feature once the patient hits a baseline of respiratory rate, and then they equilibrate out, you hit the auto and those automatically sets the alarm parameters around that. But it's too wide, in my opinion. So you could be off by 3 liters on your low minute volume alarm for the Hamilton. And that I would make that a little tighter. I would manually go in there and make that a little tighter. But I really like pressure ventilation for that very reason. And you could adjust, you go to the MORE panel and hit the P ramp, which is how fast that initial blast of air goes in. It defaults at 100 milliseconds. It's also known as rise time. It's the same thing as rise time on the right. Revell and the LTV-1200. And other companies call it something else. But it absolutely tapers the flow going in, either to go in a little bit faster or a little bit slower. And remember, if you take it to go a little bit slower, like walk it out to 200 milliseconds on a pressure-delivered breath, you're going to lose a tiny bit of volume because you're not inflating that lung enough. That's the other thing that I need to mention about pressure ventilation is your eye time, typically, you know, 1 second, 0.9 in an adult with a decent size ET tube. I'm a 0.9 kind of guy. I don't know why, but I am. And, you know, if you move that eye time down to 0.7 to kind of widen your eye to E ratio, you will take away some of your volume at that point because you're not allowing enough time to get that pressure in. And if you extend it, it may give you a little more volume, but it's going to affect your eye to E ratio. So just be aware of that. When you're in pressure ventilation, you have to be a little bit more aware of your settings and definitely more aware of your monitored values because they will fluctuate widely where, you know, that the advantage of a volume delivered breath is the guaranteed minute volume. So, yeah, there you go. You got anything else there, Gabe?
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the trigger. It is a flow trigger, and some people may not necessarily be used to the flow trigger. They may be used to a pressure trigger. So can you take me through what it defaults to and the reasons why you maybe want to increase it, maybe want to decrease it, the sensitivity on there? Can you take me through some of that stuff real quick, Sean?
Sure. The sensitivity is one of those like eye times. Nobody talks about it, right? You don't get a sensitivity setting because typically it's set at a default on the Hamilton at 5 liters per minute. And that's based around their bias flow. And I won't get into that right now, but there's a certain amount of gas that runs through that coaxial circuit or any circuit so the patient doesn't have to breathe through dead air. But that it's set at 5 liters per minute. So when the patient wants a breath, they pull in and that creates a negative flow gradient. And that tells the machine, hey, the patient wants a breath. So I wouldn't go any lower than that because you might create what we call auto-cycling or an unwanted breath. And the times that I would go above the 5 is if I have a blown cuff on my ET tube or trach or an uncuffed ET tube or trach that is causing auto-cycling. So how do you know the patient, or how do you know that it's auto-cycling versus the patient wanting a breath? Well, typically, you know, a lot of times you would see on the Hamilton, they have those triangular shaped purple dots underneath the triggered breath up on the pressure scale. And if you have a whole bunch of them in a rapid succession, it's probably auto-cycling. I don't think the patient's breathing in the 70s or wanting to be breathing in the 70s. And that's when you would walk back the sensitivity and make it less sensitive to take away that auto-cycle. Okay. That's when I do. That's more of a fine-tune adjustment and really, you know, try to fix the blown cuff if you can. There's ways to get around that. You know, to just increase the sensitivity. That's sort of the best way to stop a known auto-cycling situation.
Okay. So to summarize this one, pressure control setting is the pressure above PEEP and is an additive function. You also have the P ramp that's measured in the milliseconds, and then you have the flow trigger that's actually being delivered to overcome the bias flow to be accounted for there. Next kind of movement, and also on this one with the PCV plus, this is very similar to an AC of pressure control situation on most of the other vents. Again, this is measuring it truly to the P means or pressure control, but it is similar to that one. Now moving on to the PSI and V plus, which is kind of where I kind of go a little bit more. He's like, here we go again. So you're looking at ventilation controls as to CO2 elimination, oxygenation, patient synchronization over here. And I think that's kind of the ways that we can kind of tee this one up is this would be, if you're trying to look for a similarity, this would be an SINV to a regular pressure controlled SINV where the patient is going to be able to pull spontaneous breaths, be able to pull what they're going to be able to pull. But the good thing on this one is when you're starting to look at this one is you can have more additive functions with the patient synchronization with the ETS, expiratory trigger sensitivity on this one. And so I'll let Shaf kind of tee this one up a little bit more and and maybe kind of describe this mode and maybe some helpful uses at the end where we can actually use some of these modes for. Go ahead.
Sure. So Peace SIMV Plus. So now we're still in the biphasic concept. It's a pressure target for the breaths that I decide how many breaths I want to put into the patient. And if, in a passive patient, you put in your standard 14, tidal volume 500, PEEP of 5, eye time 1 second, sensitivity is defaulting at 5, PEEP of 5, whatever, and whatever FIR2 you need. But when you're in SIMV, something else is going to pop up in the control panel, and that's P support. Okay. Now, if you look at the panel, it'll say to the top right, it'll say P control. And that's the same P control that you would set in your PCV plus. And that is your PAP. That's your additive to your PEEP, right? So PAP right. plus PEEP equals PIP, right? But P support is different. P support is that boost breath for the spontaneous breathing patient that wants to pull above and beyond the 14 breaths per minute that you dialed in. And you're just giving them a boost breath to get by the airway resistance to kind of help them along with their spontaneous breath. What that number is, if you're in the hospital, you want to try to match it if they're on that mode. But if you're arbitrarily trying to pick it, well, you know, you kind of minimum 5, but depends on the lung compliance and how, what type of participant this patient is in their spontaneous breathing. You go to 8, 10, 12, I've had as high as 15. You're going to be targeting that tidal volume that you're trying to get on that spontaneous breath. What are you looking for? Right? So the P control is 15 over 5, so your PIP is 20. And on those breaths, they're getting a tidal volume of your target tidal volume of 500. So what do you set your PCV or your pressure support breath at? 15, the same as the P control? Well, then why don't you just go to AC at that point is my take on it. But right. that's a whole other ballgame. If you're going less, that means you're probably trying to wean the patient to get some strength, to get them to breathe on their own more, but just give them a little bit more of a support. So it's variable as to what, if you're just going to pick them up and they're on it and that's what you want to keep them on, then match what they're on, right? The one suggestion I do have in this particular case, and I like this about the Hamilton, is there's usually a P-Sync box to check. Just hit the P-Sync box. It'll put that pressure to where they need it to get the volume, that to close what they're getting anyway, the 15 over 5, the P control. It'll get it. If the patient keeps breathing that biphasic concept, it'll just keep giving them support until it feels like it's tapering off.
So does okay. that look with the P-Sync button when you have it on, does that, is that part of like the PRVC where it's just looking in there to measure the amount of support, the P-support that's actually going to be needed to the patient? Is that the way that it's actually doing?
Sure. And right. And as the patient kind of backs off when breathing, it'll back off too. And that's, again, you know, that biphasic thing. And that's what that flow sensor does. It's so sensitive right. that it's sensing, you know, what the patient wants. So yeah, that's a, I mean, just go ahead and click that box. It just makes life easy for you. And if they want more on the spontaneous breath, then unclick it and go up to a pressure support of higher to get a bigger tidal volume. But if they want a bigger
lazy.
Tidal volume.
But that's being lazy, though.
Yeah, exactly. ASV, right? That's lazy. Oh, boy. So that's that. And then you can go to the more panel again, and now some things are going to pop up, right? You have your P ramp, which is what we talked about, which is the initial blast of flow, the first milliseconds of air that goes in. You could taper that at defaults at 100. And then you can go to ETS over on the right-hand side. Now, that stands for expiratory trigger sensitivity. It is also known to the people that use LTVs or Revels and really get into the nuances of that in the extended feature menu, which I know most people try to avoid because it's a nightmare. Is the flow termination, right? So that what that does, let's talk about the ETS, the expiratory trigger sensitivity. That determines when the flow stops and cycles into the expiratory phase. So when you think about it, now you can control the flow going in and the flow coming out. Mm-hmm. Right. So typically I've used this more so, both of these, in a non-invasive BiPAP patient to make them more comfortable. If they're air hungry, I will go down to 0 on my P ramp, right? The lower you go, the quicker the breath goes
right,
in.
Right.
And then I would take the ETS and move it back towards the 80%, which means they can exhale quicker. And this is really important in a COPD patient. So if you have a COPDer that's prone to air trapping, I would definitely take that ETS. I think it defaults at 40. I get confused.
I think you're right.
Yeah, because I know the LTP is at 25 on the flow term, whatever. I get all these numbers mixed up in my head. But if it's at 40 and the patient tells you they're having trouble exhaling on BiPAP, walk it back to 60 or 80. Now, that's going to screw up your tidal volume, your exhale tidal volume.
Because you're going to sacrifice it.
Right. It's going to cycle out quicker. So that's true with an intubated COPD or two. You know, if you see that you're air trapping, you could terminate that flow quicker to get more E time on the back end. So you can manipulate the flow going in and out. That's the best way I could explain it during the inspiratory phase. So it really has a lot of tweakability and it's in your face too, which is good because in other ventilators, you have to really get into these crazy menus that kick you out if there's an alarm, which used to drive me nuts.
So on other ventilators, this could probably be looked at as what, cycle percentage too?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Exactly. Same thing. Cycle percentage. Okay. That would be the four-letter word that starts with a Z and ends with an L.
Yep. Yeah. I think so. Somewhere around in there. So it could be, just depending on what ventilator that you're actually using. So if you've used something before with cycle percentage on there, this could actually go into, this is how you would actually look at with expiratory trigger sensitivity on this one. Just a flow termination is a better way of actually looking. That's the way that I can get it in my head, at least anyway.
Sure. Because
I know that I need to terminate the flow earlier to allow them enough time to exhale for like a COPD patient, mm-hmm. either BiPAP patient or on this mode too with the PSINV plus. Trying to look at it.
Yeah, the cool thing about the BiPAP with this machine is it also gives you the ability to and let's talk about that as long as we're here as modes, because if you just continue over to the right of PSINV plus, you have spont mode, right? Which is spontaneous. So that kind of goes hand in hand with the SINV because we just talked about pressure support and P ramp and ETS. When you go over to the spont mode and hit that, what that is really CPAP with P support on top of it, which is BiPAP, right? And if you want to go straight CPAP, you just take the P support and put it to zero, and then you get straight CPAP. You could raise that up or whatever, or just put pressure support on it, depending on what you're looking to do. And then you go ahead and go to your more panel. And it allows you, that's with the NIV. I'm talking non-invasive now with the ST. That gives you a I time to time out at 1.5 seconds. So then you could terminate your I time, right? So I got confused. I'm sorry. That spontaneous is for an intubated patient, but you can also have the capability in the more panel with the non-invasive spontaneous time, which is really no different.
Yeah, because of the spontaneous, you can still land P support on this mode too.
Okay, yes.
So part of your CO2 elimination is your P support to oxygenation. You've still got your PEEP, and then your synchronization over here, you still got options for your trigger P ramp and your expiratory trigger sensitivity too. Right.
Right. And I like that it just gives you the option of when to cycle into the expiratory phase because, especially in a non invasive situation, if you have a leak and you're asking the machine to give you 15 centimeters of pressure, in P support, it's going to keep trying to do that and the patient can't exhale.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And that's a really uncomfortable position.
Okay.
So yeah, just keep that in mind that ETS, don't get confused. People get the glazed over look when you try explaining it. It's just what percentage, at what point are you going to cycle that into the expiratory phase to let the patient exhale?
Absolutely.
Cool.
All right. Well, today we've covered the PCV plus and we've covered the PSINV plus modes into the vent. And we did talk a little bit about the spont mode over here. I don't think there's anything else to actually cover unless you think we've been missing anything else. Do you think, Shelf?
Not at all. Just remember, in pressure ventilation, it changes the game on what you need to watch. Yes. That's the most important thing. Just watch your exhaled minute volume, because if the lung compliance and airway resistance changes, you need to intervene with the patient, check the circuitry, find out if you have a leak. You could pretty much tell by your exhaled tidal volume at that point, but no, nobody really pays attention to that, you know?
Right.
And the other trick is the finesse part is with the eye time, that's going to affect your tidal volume coming back too, right? Your eye time. If you change that, which a lot of people don't.
Right.
But if you change that, or if you're matching numbers, if the patient's on pressure control at the hospital ventilator for whatever reason, you want to make sure you know what that eye time is on the hospital ventilator too. You should do that anyway, even in volume ventilation, but you really, it's really affected in pressure ventilation. It makes a big difference.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that's all the time we've got for today. Do you want to give a, if you want to get in touch with us, make sure that you contact us at the critical care, our critical care triad at outlook.com, critical care triad at outlook.com. Do give us a nod on the likes and maybe give us a review, especially a 5-star review if you're liking it that much, and hit subscribe into whatever podcast format that you are following, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, some of the other ones and stuff that we're posted onto out there as well. Guys, we want to thank you for listening to us today, and we will talk to you guys later on.
Yeah, please send questions to that email if you have any, and we'll try our best to answer them for you. If you have any ideas for future podcasts or any case studies you want us to look at, please do. And thank you all for listening.
Absolutely. Oh, he even said y'all. See, we are going to make you a Southerner before you know it, man.
I'm going to have trouble saying, I see you. I see you.
All right. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening.
Later.
The information provided in this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for medical direction or training. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the organization or institution that they may represent. The listeners are advised that the information contained in this podcast should be used in conjunction with professional medical training and best practice guidelines. The host and guest of this podcast take no responsibility for the actions or decisions of the listeners.